Hello. Hey guys, this is Derek.
My name's Derek.
And I'm here with Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Derek.
And Lizzie.
Hey.
And Grant.
Hello. It's my birthday today.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Are you ready? This,
what
this
are we
is
doing
be
here?
A good, this is going to be a good podcast.
I feel like a horrible friend.
I'm a horrible
Oh, no.
We're horrible.
I'm
everybody sing happy birthday to Grant.
No. No, because when this podcast comes out, it's not going to be my birthday. So, no. Who else is here?
And Mark's here, too.
Hi, Mark.
August 23rd. Get off my lawn.
I could see that being a new t-shirt. You know? Get off my lawn with the little logo on the side. So, our culture today says that whatever makes you feel good is your truth. Pleasure has been elevated to the highest good and aim for a good life. Does the Bible support this? It's called hedonism. If so, how do we reshape our old thought of the Bible to fit this? And if not, how do we combat the mentality of the world today? It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Truth Response.
I think you said it all when you said, should we shape the Bible to... This podcast
that.
Is over.
That's not what I
you
said.
You said, should we shape the Bible to this, whatever, world view?
I said, reshape our old thoughts of the Bible.
I think you just didn't. Play that. Play the replay.
Okay.
Let's go to the replay.
Let me stop recording. Okay. Lizzie, pray for us.
Lucifer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and just thank you for this time that we get to talk about your word and how it relates to our culture and the things around us, and just help us to stay on topic, even though that's really difficult for us most of the time, and just help us to get closer to the truth, the true truth that you have for us. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I was watching
wrestling.
No, the Daily Wire today. I was watching
it's
Michael Knowles.
It's kind of like wrestling, only political.
And
verbal wrestling.
Yeah.
Michael Knowles was doing, he was watching some videos and commenting on them for like Trans Tuesday or whatever. It was from yesterday. And one of the videos, it doesn't have anything to do with that part, but she said unalived themselves.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't say the word suicide anymore.
Oh,
that's a curse word.
Okay. You can't say killed themselves.
No. Like, you can't say killed.
They unalived themselves.
You cannot say kill. Mm-hmm. You cannot say suicide.
It is becoming a.
What is wrong?
It gets
with
censored.
This world.
The word gets censored. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it gets censored on
like
our
on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you not know?
No, I didn't know. I know you have to say grape if you're going to talk about rape. So,
dude,
but I didn't know unalived is the thing.
This podcast is going to get removed from
every
platform.
Spotify doesn't do that.
Joe Rogan would be
like way screwed. I mean, he says all kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, it's that's so dumb. Like unalived themselves. I was like,
unalived themselves.
What just happened? My brain like broke.
There's
so,
a really. Funny,
I know that's a like a little bit of a tangent.
There's a really funny clip. About something that was happening in some state somewhere, which that was really explanatory.
Yeah, that was
where there's a bunch of liberals that were getting together having like a town hall meeting, and it said this is what the world will look like if the liberals take over. And it was basically one person after another getting up explaining how everyone needs to be quiet and they're having sensory overload because and they need a safe space. And and then another guy got up and said, my pronouns are him, her, they, them, apostrophe S, whatever they call themselves. And everybody introduced themselves with their pronouns. And it was like they never actually talked about any business. And the person that was like there, like the government official or whoever it was like looking at these people like, you are a bunch of idiots. Like, and even this person, like, who's pandering towards the liberal bases, was like, I can't believe I signed up for this. Like, is this really what it's like? And the answer was, yes, this is what it's like.
All I can say is I'm glad I'm closer to seeing Jesus than any of you guys.
Hey, you don't know that. You can live to 120.
We are
tomorrow.
Yeah,
Grant,
you know what?
Grant is building a makeshift platform on top of a boiler, so he may actually be closer than any of us. So.
Oh. Wow. Oh. Yeah, that's
well,
true.
If we progress with the natural order of things, I will
the
be checking out.
Order.
Oh, I will be checking.
You
out
mean
first.
Dying of old age? If by chance all
are
five
you allowed
of
to
us
say
died
that?
Of old age.
If we unalived at old age.
No. It's unalived at a mature age.
Oh, if we're unalived at a mature age.
All right.
So, sorry. I was like, is that really a thing? Is that what our society has come to? Is like, we can't say words.
I guess
no, we can't say words.
That makes sense, right? Like, we've made language harder. I don't understand that. So, today we're going to talk about hedonism. It is basically... simplest way of saying it, it's just self-pleasure. It's the whatever makes you happiest and whatever makes you enjoy life is what is the best thing for you to do. That has become, it's the leading cause of the LGBTQ. It's the leading cause of all that transgenderism and the all the confusion that's out there right now. So take it away. We've got people with notes. So, and somebody whose birthday it is. So
well, birthday.
When I looked up hedonism, one of the things, the crazy things to me is, Google, and it popped up Christian hedonism. So, and then it defined that. It is the idea that God has designed each of us with an innate desire to pursue happiness. And
Christian
so,
hedonism?
Yeah. Yep. So, actually,
I feel like that's a double.
Yeah,
it is.
But like that would be what I've seen the trend in churches and in the culture right now is for like even people that I went to Bible school with, like the not I wouldn't say complete hedonism. It's weird because like. What I see mostly is like loving people so much that they will not disagree with them about their sinful lifestyle in a loving way. What? So instead of saying like you shouldn't be doing this, and they're all affirmative of what they're doing and their lifestyles and the things that they're choosing to do, even though they're against God. So I don't know if that's just me. And these are kids that I went to Bible college with, or I say kids, we're old now.
So like the churches that have the that are affirming of the homosexual lifestyle.
When I preach on Sunday, I'm going to say, hi, my name's Pastor Nick, and my pronouns are he, him.
No.
Are you actually going to say
please
that?
Please don't do that.
I was going to say, like, that might be an interesting way to make people
mad. He's pushed it the last 2 weeks. So. Why not add a third?
Yeah. It might be. It really could. That could be a really good introduction at some point, like, when we hit on... I don't know this topic. There's got to be something about that in 1st and 2nd Peter. There for sure is, because it talks about against the grain of culture, which is the next series that we're going to step into. So,
oh boy.
So what? When we're talking about short-term gratification, it could be something as simple as, we've talked about money before, right? Mm-hmm. So having a credit card with whatever limit on it, and basically you're taking that and as soon as it opens up a little bit, you pay down a little, you're just swiping again as much as just for the instant gratification, whether you need it or whether you don't or whatever, right? That could be an example of it, correct?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. It definitely, that would be one of many examples, but yeah, if you are living so far beyond your means to have something that you know you shouldn't have just for the sake of having it, that would definitely fall in that.
Okay.
Can you afford to have that? No. You probably shouldn't. But I want it because it makes me feel good.
Mm. Yeah.
And because I want this and it makes me feel good, I'm going to demand that you pay me a higher wage than I actually deserve. And then I'm going, and because you're not willing to do that right now, I'm going to go make sure everyone else that is in the same situation as me, that wants a whole bunch of things that make us feel good but can't afford to buy those things because we don't actually have any marketable skills, demands that even entry-level jobs we make quote-unquote living wages, even though we don't understand how to appropriately manage our money.
Hmm. And then the cause and effect of having the prices actually go up that much more for the things that you want.
But we don't need to think about that that way because
we'll
if
have more money,
I don't think it's
it.
True, then it's not.
Okay.
Well, like, and hedonism, like, it's not a new thing. Like, obviously, it's not, like, it's been around pretty much forever since the garden. Like, the reason that Adam and Eve fell was, like, self-pleasure, pursuit of pleasures, pursuit of the things that they wanted, not of God.
I think it's really become the skewed American dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of working, earning, getting, and, you know, being bountiful as a community, united, mm-hmm. we have really turned completely inward and said, how much can I take for myself? Mm-hmm. Whether it's people's time, taking advantage of whatever situation, what can I consume for me opposed to what can I give?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because when I was looking at this, it's throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, like, every time that the Israelites turned from God, they followed the world or followed the pleasures of the flesh or whatever, and then God removed his blessing, and then we're like, oh no, like, we done messed up. Like, so they turned back to him, and then he blessed them again, and then it just kept the cycle. It's the cycle over and over again. Like, it's the same thing over and over again. And, like, for me, Judges 21:25 summarizes kind of like this cycle. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everybody did as they saw fit. Everybody did as they saw fit. Like, that's what's happened. That's basically the root of hedonism, is like, everybody did as they think they should do.
And we know like many major cultures and societies have been that way. Mm-hmm. Rome was that way. Mm-hmm. You know,
I would say that it would be the root of most, if not all, societies that have sprung up and then fallen hard.
It's true. Yeah. The fall of major developed societies has come down to this reason. Mm-hmm. It's the rejection of any type of reasonable authority, mm-hmm. and the embrace of everybody wins.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And it's not necessarily all on just, like, throughout history and the kings and queens and stuff, like, it wasn't just them. I mean, you think of, like, what happened in Paris and the guillotine and stuff like that. It was not just the leaders that have this mentality. It's, like, the people. And then so it's, like, a back-and-forth thing a lot of times with, like, oh, the rulers, like, if a lot of rulers fell because they were bad leaders and because they were hedonistic and because they worried about all about themselves or all about their power or whatever. And then the opposite side would be like, okay, like, you know, when Paris and all of that stuff, and like the extreme opposite was that everybody was like, okay, well then that's how we're gonna live too, and we're gonna kill all of, you know, all of the leaders that did this, but we're doing the exact same thing that they're doing, but it's okay for us because at least we're not having somebody tell us what to do.
It's a dangerous spiral, and it's a downhill spiral, mm-hmm. because, you know, I mean, you figure, look at our marketing alone. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, Mark, you could probably sell us on a smoke detector one way or another, but at the same time say, well, it's probably not really a whole lot better than another one, right? One way or the other. I mean, there's advantages, obviously. But
yeah, I mean, like, yes, that statement is fairly true.
You know, you look at, okay, my water system. There's two things I don't do. I don't do AC and I don't do water systems, right? Like, won't touch them. Just don't deal with it, right? So water system. I guarantee I'm dreading having to call somebody about my water system, because I guarantee they're going to convince me, or try to, that this magical RO system is going to make magical spring water come out of the death well of Lehi, right?
Death well.
It doesn't come up pretty.
Mm-hmm. We had a discussion kind of like this. So I will admit I've not been a good parent on here. So here's how. So my girls have had phones for the last 2 years, and this was not my doing, but I did give approval. My sister wanted to be a cool aunt, and so she's like, I'm going to buy the girls phones. And she's like, I figured I would talk to you about it first. And we're like, okay, they are starting to get into that age. Like, Brooke's freshman year of high school, so it's like, there will inevitably be times and things where we should probably get a hold of her and need to. And so I set it up. We set it up, and we had these intentions of all these great guidelines on the devices. Things have gone off the rails. I have the Google Family app or whatever it's called that allows you to limit. So we're Android family. It allows you to limit the usage on a device. You can have a certain amount of time. You can kind of divvy that out between different apps and so on and so forth. So there was a time period in which you can add time to it as a parent, and you have to type in your email address and password, or your username and password. And then there was a time where the girls knew our usernames and passwords, and so they would remove the time limits. And so it would be getting ready for bed. You'd walk into their bedroom. They'd still be on their phones. You'd be like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, just on my phone. Like, wow. I don't know. It must just not work. So, and then I would catch them. Like, so I would go back and I'd look at the app, and it would say, oh, there's no limit for today and no bedtime. And so I'd turn it on, and then I'd wait 10 minutes, and then it would turn off. And then I'd turn it on, and I'd wait 10 minutes, and then it would turn off. And then I was like, I think I know what's happening here. So first, they had my username and password. And so I changed my password, and then I turned it on, and they didn't turn it off. And I was like, okay, I figured that one out. And then about 3 months later, the same thing was happening, because they figured out Casey's username and password, and that she could also add time. And so I made her, asked her if she would change her password, and she did, and that eliminated itself. Recently, I've also come to find that those limits are only on data things, not on phone calls. So you can take phone calls 24 hours a day. And Brooke got busted a couple times for being told on that she was talking on the phone to a friend of hers at 2 a.m. And I was like, okay. And most recently, Morgan... There's a lot behind this one. Morgan made a friend on Roblox, of all things, who doesn't live in Florida, who we aren't able to meet, who we know nothing about, and has been spending hours upon hours talking on the phone to this individual. And so last night I dropped some hammer on them and said, here's the deal. Number one, I need to know who this is. I need their phone number. I need their address. I need their details. I need to know who that is. Number two, there are no phone calls that will happen any longer behind closed doors, only common spaces. Number three, phones get plugged in and left out on the breakfast bar every night. And there is probably a number four in there as well. Oh, there are no other electronic devices that will make their way into your bedrooms as well, other than an alarm clock. So I have a child that has a tendency of taking the laptop into the thing, playing the Roblox game, because that's what she plays. And then there's also the Nintendo Switch in one of the bedrooms and so on. So all of those things are coming out of the bedrooms. And I have an older child who likes to just debate for the sake of debating. And so we were discussing why these rules have come into effect. She did own up to the fact that she has been on the phone at 2 a.m. with her friends, and she was trying to come to that resolution of, well, you should just let me be able to do everything and teach me why I should be responsible. And I was like, that's not the way that works. Yeah. That would be like me saying, hey, I want to teach you about alcohol. So here's 47 different kinds of alcohol. We are not going to monitor or manage any of this. If you figure it out and you drink it and you get drunk, like, it's on you. Like, you'll learn eventually through that. And she's like, well, it's not at all like that. I was like, yes, the phone affects your brain the same way drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography addiction, all of those things affect your brain. She's like, well, it's just not fair that you're making us quit cold turkey. I was like, that is the only way. And you're not even quitting. Like, you get your phone from the moment you walk, you get up until 9 p.m. when it's plug that jammy in, put it on the breakfast bar. But, like, no, don't even give me your butts. Like, this is how you learn, is through guardrails. You don't learn through everything is permissible and just go figure it out. Like, I get it. Bible says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. But God sets us some guardrails for here's the way you live the Christian life, right? You can live outside of that. There are repercussions. Same thing with you can live outside of the rules, the guardrails that Dad is setting. I started off this family meeting by saying there has been an edict from the king.
I'm sure that went awesome. Over well.
Yeah. Brooke was like, what does that mean? And who's the king? And Casey was like, he's sitting right over there. So.
Oh boy.
Yep.
I would hate to.
To be my kid? Yes.
No, I would hate to make your wife angry. I feel like if she actually, like, got angry, it would be terrifying. You know, like.
Like Todd, when, if Todd
like
Sharp
mad
got
mom,
angry.
Like, I would not want to see.
Yeah.
Angry mom side
yeah,
of Casey.
Yeah, she you know, gets. Like, she can get worked up. It doesn't just, happen often. It really
I'm sure.
Doesn't,
I mean, she's very good and patient with things, mm-hmm. but seeing an angry Casey would be terrifying.
I told you that story. I don't know if it means anything. But
all right. So no, all it does. In all, if how it went, do you believe that, okay, you're setting up guardrails, okay? As parents, we have to set up guardrails. Mm-hmm. You're setting the standard of the house. This is the rules. These are how they're going to be played out. Mm-hmm. This is how this is going to happen. And through that, there's discipline, right? My question would be, do you think that they see it through? How do they see it?
They
do,
see it as this is Dad
it's
being
my right
being
taken
mean,
away.
Right? Yeah. Brooke even said this is a punishment, and I said no, this is not a punishment. You still have a privilege. Mm-hmm. I've not removed the privilege. I've just set guardrails up.
I can't remove the
right.
privilege.
And she said, well, it's a punishment because every time you punish us, it has to do with the phone. And I said, because that means the most to you. Mm. So I will go after what means the most to you, and I will destroy it. Right? So that's my job. And I said, I am not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your father. And she said, well, that's not very nice. And I said, nope, you're right. That's my job. So I am not here to be your friend at all. So
just like God throughout the entirety of the Bible.
Yeah. And I, okay. And I even said the same rule to some extent applies for Casey and I. So at 9 o'clock every night, our phones get put away. So we can watch a show together, a movie together, like 9:30 is like kind of bedtime. I usually go to bed by 10 ish. So it's like we will hang out for at least 30 minutes as a family every day. That's it. Mm-hmm. So I am also seeking to model those same behaviors that I'm putting upon my kids. Granted, the phone does stay by my bed because there can be a 5 a.m. phone call that, hey, can't pick up the high school run today. Gonna need you to do it. Or someone
Church
just
emergency.
Died. Or oddly enough, I did get a phone call at 3 a.m. the other morning about someone's house being on fire, and I slept right through it. So, so moral of the story is if you have an actual emergency, I'm not going to answer the phone anyway, but I'll get back to you as soon as I can, oh as soon gosh. As I wake up.
You need your name, number, and a brief message.
Yeah. So with that being said, I said, hey, I'm also willing to bear some responsibility for this too, because this has been something that's come between all of us, and this has separated all of us from our family time, and we need to be more intentional about that. And I will also say, Brooke has been incredibly responsible, and there was a big change that happened at MOVE when we went to the MOVE conference. And she said it really helped her to reflect on the things that are really important in life. And she just organically, naturally just started to spend more time with us. And she said, okay, I'm okay. I'll abide by your rules, but you also have to follow through. I was like, okay, we'll spend more time together as a family intentionally, and we'll make it better than it's been. So we only had one night of this so far.
So the thing that connects really well is the fact that hedonism, that self-desire, is a natural baseline thing. Everybody wants to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows what's best for them, though, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's a perfect example of that. They didn't understand why no, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like the world has a hard time understanding the reason why no, mm-hmm. you know? Like, why can't I just do whatever I feel like doing that makes me feel good, you know? Mm-hmm. And they lack a moral compass. Like, that's part of it. Like, they don't have anything to guide them. But that's something I believe it's natural in all of us to want that whatever makes me happy, you know?
Sure.
Idea.
Yeah. But is there anything wrong with that? Inherently, I mean, like, right. Like in working hard, and this is, I always go back to it because really that's all I know. Is there anything wrong with working hard in the pursuit of the bigger house, the nice car? The is there something inherently wrong with that?
I have spent the last week in deep, deep, deep thought and study and counsel over this. Uh-huh. Okay. So
over hedonism?
No, over
the pursuit.
We had a pretty compelling discussion in the marriage group last Wednesday.
I could preach on this. I have been losing
Francis
it.
Chan laid it out there and said,
"Well, let's hear it then."
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll try to lay this out. Okay. So basically, somebody in the class, we were talking about money, right? And that can go in 100 different directions. However, he chose to use the vehicles in the parking lot as the example of how people can spend money poorly in stupid ways, to the extent of saying, hey, you know, there's a $90,000 to $100,000 truck in the parking lot, and I could accomplish the exact same task with a $50,000 one, and whoever owns it is basically wasting away money.
Oh, okay. Man.
That's
pretty gutsy.
Who said that? Yes. So,
was that
my love?
No,
so
he's not gonna give a name.
No.
So, no, I know. That's somebody like within your.
Yeah. Group. Oh yeah. There's only so many people at the church. So
I gotcha.
Like,
I gotcha. All right.
Like,
so, enough said.
Anyways, okay. So of course, it went about 10 different directions at once. My wife handled it very well.
She did.
She spoke. I said as little as possible because I had nothing nice to say, which. We got home, you know, and she was like, she's like, you said nothing. I'm like,
you are a better man than
so,
me.
however, I have, this is going to go rabbit trail. Okay.
Yes.
So money is one of the roots of all evil, right? Is one of the roots
the
of
love
evil.
Of all kinds of
the
love
of
money
okay.
is the root of all
Great.
Kinds of
yeah.
evil.
Okay. So there are three factors that I have come to conclude. What are your means? Uh-huh. Okay, how much do you make? Do you tithe? Mm-hmm. And to what extent? Okay, Bible tells us 10%. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay, and what do you do? Do you give of your time? Do you give in excess? Because
generosity.
Yes, 10% is 10%. Okay, somebody's house burns down. Are you there giving time? Are you giving money? Are you giving advice? Are you giving what knowledge? Whatever you have, do you do that? Okay, so those three things. Mm-hmm. Now, I've gone back to, okay, if this major factor is living in excess, and this can tie into hedonism, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Living in excess.
Keep going.
I will totally 110% admit, yes, I could have bought a $50,000 truck that would have done the exact same thing, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't. I bought one that was twice that much, and I saved about $25,000 on it, and I love it. And I absolutely love it, right? It is my dream truck. Uh-huh. And I don't feel guilty for a second about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I can pay for it. Mm-hmm. I cover it. No problem. We're good. Okay? Wait. So.
Question. In that.
Bah.
Why did you buy it? Did you buy
because
it?
Because I wanted it.
Because you
and
wanted
because it. I needed a dually that would tow the trailer that I drag around every single day, and I wanted to do it with AC seats so that my butt was cold so that after I finished sweating my rear end off, welding in the middle of a 120-degree parking lot, I could drive around in this forsaken traffic in comfort.
Now, none of that is I bought this truck to show everybody else who I am.
No. And to be transparent, I didn't put the $10,000 24-inch Gaudi wheels on it. It came with it.
Well, free thank brother. God for that.
So, oh, man. I would have gone with 22s, all right? So, and I'm going to hate it when I got to put tires on it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I know we've completely derailed, but I'm telling
That's
you
That's not
what.
A derail. That's no. so good.
Oh, my yeah. gosh.
For me, like, it comes down to it's a heart issue, whether it's, yes. like, if you're doing it just to pursue, like,
hey, look
for
at
yourself.
Me.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand. I mean,
or,
it says
like, your
that.
Motivation like, and your reason but, behind it is important because, like,
yes.
in your line of work and what you do, you need to have a nicer vehicle because you are.
I pull up into a $5 million house in Naples, and they look at that, and they're like, okay, cool. He knows yeah. what he's doing. He's obviously got it together, or he's just faking it till he makes it.
Yeah.
One way or the other, right?
I have the opposing example that happened this week. So on Monday, dude rolls up in a brand spanking new gorgeous Cadillac, right?
Like, cool.
Beautiful Cadillac to my food pantry. And then I'm thinking, okay, cool. He's got like a
he's coming
pops
to make a
trunk.
Donation.
He pops the trunk and I'm thinking, cool, he's gonna donate some food to us, right? And so I just go inside, get ready, you know, and we get going with pantry. I've thought nothing of this guy since, you know, somebody else could have gotten whatever. It doesn't matter, right? I was not thinking about this dude. And then he walks through the door in the pantry line and gets food. And I'm like, even if that guy truly needed the food, that car was bought as a status symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
But I think you're making some assumptions that he actually owned that vehicle. Or that he paid
for
that vehicle.
No. Because I see it all the time.
Well, I know.
If it was like a one-off occurrence.
Right.
You're right. I am taking the individual, right, and I'm not looking at the individual as a what is his circumstances. You're right.
Right.
But it's a regular thing. It's not just a.
Okay.
It's not just a one-off.
It's not
like,
just this one person.
Right, right.
It's like I saw a homeless lady pull up in a car. I mean, not all homeless people don't have cars. But she lived in her car, and it was brand spanking new. Like, she had bought it maybe 2 weeks before, and it was an expensive car. I don't even know. It was one of those high-end, I don't know, cars very well.
In the defense of some, there are circumstances that happen.
Absolutely.
Right, where you drive that car off the lot, you have the means, you have everything, you end up making your way home to the place you're renting, and the landlord says, you're out. Right, you show up for work the next day and they say
you're done.
Right, like there are extenuating circumstances
absolutely.
That do happen. So, I want everybody to hear that. Right,
absolutely.
We do know those things happen, but that's
the exception and not the rule.
Right.
And if it was every once in a while somebody was pulling up in a Cadillac, I would be like, dude, you know, I don't know, but it's regular. It's regular to the point of like. we get BMWs all the time. Brand spank. I mean, like, brand new BMWs all the
time. You should start asking people, dude, your car is sweet. Where'd you get that thing?
Yeah, that would be.
You should. You should just. Yeah,
just absolutely. As a conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
That's a Derek move. Like, that's a devil's advocate move. Man, like,
that is. But I'm a little less like that with people I don't know. So
I can tell you the first thing that would go would be my truck.
Yeah.
Like, Melanie and I love what we drive, like whatever else. Mm-hmm. But we love driving. We enjoy vehicles. Mm-hmm. That's something like whatever. We share that. It's mm-hmm. cool, right? Whatever. But if things changed, which, okay, it's a great season now, like, I've been studying Job all week. Like, that dude had like 5,000 sheep, 500 female donkeys. I don't know what happened to the male ones, but like, whatever, like, so much stuff,
you only
right?
Need one of those.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, in half a second, gone, bam. God's like, yeah, okay, just don't touch him. Yeah. Like, in 2 seconds. So, yeah, you want to talk about being humbled? Go read Job.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
But that would be the first thing, right?
Like, right.
And okay, I'll go find another one that'll drag a little bit.
That's a really good reason as to why I say, like, yes, circumstances happen. Mm-hmm. Where you, but, like, if my family got to a point where I couldn't afford to get food and I had something of luxury that I could sell in order to get us by, it's gone. Mm-hmm. I would not even think twice. I don't care. I don't care if it's the precious rubies that my wife has from her ancestors, whatever, her great-grandma or whoever it was. Her grandmother. They're gone.
On that note, just so you know, Derek's already sold them.
If it means that my daughter's going to starve if we don't figure something out, she's not going to starve, I promise. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't understand people with any other mindset. Like, I don't get it, because a lot of those people that roll up in the BMWs or the Lexus or the whatever, you know, I haven't seen a Bentley yet, so, you know, but I'm sure I wouldn't put it past somebody. But they have kids. Like, I don't know, lots of them have like 3, 4, 5 kids, and I'm like,
tax credit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like,
welfare check.
What? But you're driving around in this, you know, brand new fancy car that I could take out a loan. I've got great credit, right? And I could pay it off if I wanted to, right? But, like, I choose not to, because I want to live without the fear of having to go to somewhere that people are giving me handouts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't get the opposite.
Well, you hear that
because
proverb.
Would kill him.
The proverb is the... The debtor is slave to the lender, right? So you are, in essence, in bondage to the person who holds your note, right? Because Grant doesn't own his truck until the day he pays the bank off that last penny, and they will bring it down to the last penny, right?
Correct.
That's not your truck until that penny comes,
nope.
Right? So same thing happens with everything in life, and. Mm. We strap ourselves into that place. Sometimes it's for justifiable reasons. Like, you run your business based off of the vehicle you have and the trailer you tow.
There you go.
Right?
It's a lot cheaper than building a building.
Exactly. So you are, in essence, you are making, to me, a good decision, right? You bought a new truck, something you knew that you wouldn't have maintenance issues with.
It wasn't even new. I bought it used. 30,000 miles.
Bah. Still, but the diesel, right? Low miles, so you know that you're not going to have maintenance issues with it for the foreseeable future. So there was some justification in that.
All right, I got a whole different side to it. Okay, so Cadillac through the food pantry, right? Forget about that. Let's go down to a church in Naples, one of the wealthiest cities in the United States, right? Go look at their parking lot, okay? We're going to start casting judgment on what's mm-hmm. in their parking lot. Mm-hmm. And this would be my question and my massive challenge in all of it. Okay. If you are poor, if you choose to, if your standard is whatever, let's call it a one, and this is just generalized across the board. If your standard is a one, right? versus somebody with a standard that is at 8, 9, or 10, some of like the top, you know, 10% in the country, right? My question would be, who has the ability to financially make moves to have massive impacts on groups of people mm-hmm. in positive ways? If it's done correctly, my belief is how you feel if you have $10 in your pocket or if you have $10 million, no different than going back to the lottery, right? Mm-hmm. Like we went around in group and mm-hmm. talked about, okay, what if you had all this money? What would it look like, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's like, give, 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 mm-hmm. give, give. Okay, well, ideally, that should be a reflection in ratio mm-hmm. to what you're giving and doing now, mm-hmm. okay? If I don't have to work and if I could give my time constantly, great. I mean, all of us are looking for this one word. It's called freedom. Mm-hmm. Do you want financial freedom? Do you want freedom to not have a boss over you? Do you want to be an entrepreneur? Do you want, wisdom so that you feel like you have all the answers constantly? Mm-hmm. People want freedom, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. So, but my question is it wrong if you are disciplined, if you have sweat equity, mm-hmm. if you study and choose to be a leader and fight and challenge yourself every single day? Mm-hmm. I don't look at others as a challenge. I look myself in the mirror as a challenge. Mm-hmm. That's who I challenge every day to be somebody better. Mm-hmm. Like if we're not doing that, you're not going to advance.
Right.
If you just do a good job, you're going to have poor rewards.
Right.
If you do an excellent job, you'll have good rewards. If you do an outstanding job, you get all the reward. So if you apply that as a Christian, if you want to be an outstanding Christian and dedicate your life to it, none of us are perfect. We're striving for the day, right? Mm-hmm. But like that's what we're pushing for.
Yeah.
Anything else, we fall short and the reward isn't there.
Mm-hmm. And it speaks in the Bible about when you're like, if God can trust you with a little bit, then he can trust you with more mm-hmm. and
exactly.
more and more. And
but it doesn't always mean that he will.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
no.
something else we've
no.
Remember,
and
right?
this is okay. not
and
prosperity
people,
message
people,
by
people,
any means.
Right.
Like,
well, and people think yeah. that that's just money. And that could
right.
be
no.
talents. That could be, you know. Yeah.
It could even be like emotional shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like
yeah.
God, like for me, for example, like I am one who has – I have broad shoulders in the emotional sense and in the physical sense even though I'm short. I do. They had to give me like a suit that was like four times my size in order to get – just yeah, anyways. So
get shoulders in there.
Okay.
To get my shoulders in there. Yeah. Just really, my dad's got broad shoulders, whatever. But on the emotional side, like I have broad shoulders. So whenever I was in high school I was the one who made sure that I took the brunt of any kind of being made fun of and all that stuff so that my friends who were nerds and, you know, kind of the social outcasts and all that didn't take that, right? Like, I was the one who placed myself in the way of that because I've got broad shoulders and that's what God's blessed me with. Well, as I've gotten older, like, my shoulders have gotten broader. If somebody called me fat, I'd be like, okay, like, yeah. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I can yeah. handle more. Like, somebody could call me a bigot. All right.
You look down and say, like, when did that happen?
What? I have not owned a mirror in 10
years. That's the truth.
Years,
it's not just financial. It's if you're challenging yourself, like, if we get up every day and just say, okay, how much money can we make today? I mean, we've missed the mark already, mm-hmm. like, yeah. way past what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, we can all be guilty of the stresses of life. Mm-hmm. America and the world are constantly pouring in saying, hey, this is what you need. This is the next thing you need. This, you're going to get pleasure out of this. This is how you're going to find happiness. This is, I mean, if we're almost not living under a rock, we're going to face that stuff mm-hmm. every single day.
I had a conversation with somebody this week who told me that pastors should never drive a nice car and that they should always live in poverty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait a second. Like,
yeah.
Let's just start with the first one, right? Like, what if that pastor has spent the last 15 years or 20 years saving up enough money just the little putting pennies away and being very responsible with his money at just so he could buy that nice car. Like, that's been something that he's been saving for and being frugal about and being responsible with his money to eventually get. And their example is generally like a Joel Osteen, right? And I'm like, okay, let's talk about Joel Osteen, right? I have no idea how much he makes. I'm sure he makes way too much as a pastor, right? He's got a lot of weight. He's got a lot of people that he's responsible for. So that's got something to be said for too, as much as you make, right? Like, if you are responsible over a bunch of people's well-being, then, like, as in they work under you, then you should make a little more than the person who doesn't have as many people, because your choices are going to affect more people and could be devastating for more families. But if that was his sole source of income, I'd be like, yeah, I can tend to agree. He's got a jet. He's got all these different things. You know, like, that's a little excessive. But he's written how many books? Mm-hmm. And he's done all these other stuff. It's like, he's got other sources of income that any one of us could do, mm-hmm. right? Like, anybody can write a book. Like, not everybody can sell a book, but, like, you can write a book. Mm-hmm. Like, even if he wrote one book that sold a million copies and he made $15 million, like, okay. Like, there's another source mm-hmm. of income. Like, it's not like he's, you know, people don't take all that stuff into consideration. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's not generally people who are in a comfortable position mm-hmm. or better, right? Like, it's not coming from, like, people like me who we're financially stable. We don't make a lot of money, but we are financially stable. I have no problem, you know, buying something fun for my family or going out to eat or whatever, you know. I don't live paycheck to paycheck. I'm not worried about the fact that, oh, my bank account's going to be gone, you know. Like, well, that's not something that I that's what I mean by living
comfortably. And the amazing thing is you live on half of what most people make. I mean, like,
yeah, at least in Southwest Florida, like, right?
Definitely in Southwest Florida. You guys make probably the median household income in a place that is probably one of the top 10% most expensive places to live in America.
What year did we hit over 50?
And when we were both working at the church.
Yeah.
I think that was the year that we actually hit 50.
Yeah.
A year. Like, I think I don't even know that we're there. Oh, we are there now. We just hit back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't care. Who knows what? Yeah. That doesn't, whatever. Like, but we both had, well, she had student loans, right? Mm-hmm. When we got married, I had credit card debt, two different credit cards, that was not crazy excessive, but to the tune of, like, I had $2,000 worth of credit card debt, which is nothing and compared to a lot of people, but for my own, that was that was a lot, right? And she had, I don't even know, probably $50,000 of student loan debt. And mm-hmm. but we both came into the marriage. She had bought a house, great deal, awesome deal. But she had already bought a house. What was cool is I got to go with her through that process. Mm-hmm. But then we both had the cars.
Over your head. This is my house, just so you
know. I didn't need you for this.
I can kick you out anytime I want.
And then I threw it back in her face. Yeah, but I was there with you the whole time. So, no.
The first meal of Arby's on the floor.
Yep. We both came into it with our first car from when we were 16, right? We were 25. When we got married, I wasn't 25 yet, but I was getting ready to turn. Right. So what I'm saying is, like we both came in with our first car. We just got rid of our first cars, in the last 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah. It's 3 years. It's been since I've been here. Right. So it's been three or four years.
Three for hers and four for mine. I mean, she had her first car for 16 years. I had my first car for 14. Like, it was, yeah. So.
That's
so
awesome.
Whenever I say, like, I live comfortably and now you know, like, we make decisions and we take care of the things that we've got and we're very conscious of those things. And we don't make top whatever, but I can afford to buy D&D books. You know what I mean? Like, and not worry about living paycheck to paycheck.
He spends his monthly car payment on D&D books.
I do. No, I don't. My wife would definitely kill me. But see, we've also got that understanding of the fact that, like, we're not going to live lavishly. Like, we're not going to – and if we have a little more in the bank account, we might spend a little more and not worry about it. But if we have less in the bank account, we just stop spending money, you know? Like, I don't know.
That seems to be the disconnect, right? Really, in our culture today, the disconnect is because other people have it, I should have it.
Yeah.
And even though they've worked for it, I should have it, right? And I haven't, right? I should have it. Like, it's just a – it's really – I mean, it's so selfish and self-centered that I should be able to have without having to put in the time, the effort, the energy, the work, the education, whatever.
The wisest man in history.
The
wisest man in history.
Solomon.
Was a hedonist.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he sought pleasure in everything, and it wasn't enough.
Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It didn't fill him,
yep.
Right? Like, that's how he gained wisdom, right? Like, that's how he was,
he got. Limitations?
Mm-hmm. Wisdom was, he tried it all. Mm-hmm. And none of it, none of the pleasurable things, nothing actually made him happy. Living as a hedonist does not work. Doesn't. You're always chasing something. You know what I'm chasing? Jesus. That's it.
Like, what?
I'm not chasing money. I'm not chasing a nice car. Like, I almost had a midlife crisis, even though I'm not there yet. Like, I almost bought a Nova out of nowhere, but I
he would also
didn't
be dead.
But
his dad
just
would have helped me dispose.
I don't know.
Money.
I just know he would have helped me rebuild the car. but it's just one of those things. Like,
Mark, what do you think? You've been very quiet.
I'm just listening.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, I don't think the question ever really got answered that I asked, but
that's fine. that's how we do.
Re-ask your question. What was it?
Is it wrong? Is it in the pursuit of the finer things, is it wrong to do that?
Well, you say the word pursuit. I think it comes down to that. Having the finer things is not wrong.
Point.
But when that becomes the point,
the goal
of everything you're doing, then that's what makes it wrong. If you wake up every day, like Grant said, and your objective is simply how much money can I make today to get this thing that is really meaningless when it's all said and done, if that's why you wake up every day, you've missed the point, right? If you don't see that there is so much more to life, there's a reason why. There are studies that show the happiest people on earth are the most generous people on earth, tend to be the most generous people on earth, because they realize it's not about what I have, right? It's about what I am able to give. It's what I am able to share. It's what I'm able to offer to the people around me, to the world around me. And that is where you begin to see that breakdown of so much of our cultural issues. And the thing is you have political candidates grandstanding on, I will make sure, you know, you have what in California, did they pass it? I don't know that we are going to cut checks to people just to cut checks to people. Right. Andrew Yang ran on that four years ago, when he was running for political office and running as a presidential candidate. We should have a national guaranteed income. And it's like, sure, I'd love an extra $1,200 a month, but that just means all the things that already cost money are going to cost an extra $1,200 a month, right? Like, we see that economics, there's math attached to that. And look, I'm a pastor. I don't do math, right? And when I do it poorly and wrong. But I know enough to know that if you start pumping more money into things, that just means other things are going to cost more money. And you're just enabling negative cycles of behavior. So we're in this cultural place where everybody's clamoring for freebies, for handouts, right? I want my student loans forgiven. And I was like, wow, that'd be awesome. I'd love to, you know, save a few $100 every month and not paying student loans. But I also know that's my debt, right? What's the better reform? okay, don't make me pay 4% interest on these student loans, right? How about if I pay 1.5%? How about if I don't pay any interest on the loans, right? If this is going to better the world around us, why do we even have interest rates on student loans, right? Should be a benefit to that. So bite your tongue. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're really good at stepping on toes. And we've done a lot of that today. Mm-hmm. I'm not done. So let me step on some Christian toes, all right? Because a lot of the people listening may not talking about them.
We're talking about you.
But we are. And I don't know.
How many of you walked in and been like, I don't like that music. I'm never going back to that church anymore, right? I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the coffee, right?
Honestly,
that coffee was not the right coffee. I am never going back to that church anymore. That bathroom wasn't quite nice enough. Carpet, definitely the wrong color. Can't go back there.
I mean, that happens, and that is hedonism, right?
First 7 minutes of somebody walking into a church, first 7 minutes of somebody pulling onto the property determines whether or not they're going to come back.
Yep. Not just like pastoral analytics?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Some pastor who is good at math went out there and studied that, right? We're few and far between, out there.
Yeah.
Also, the women's restroom, most important room in the church.
So we're called to live like Jesus.
Why? Because if a woman walks in and it's not clean or it's not nice, you will not go back to that church. So that tells you right there, Christian hedonist, write that down.
Women when it comes to women's bathrooms.
So if you're a woman listening to this, and I know there's a lot of you out there, I'm watching you.
You should ask the 90s question.
What would Jesus do?
Right? What would Jesus do? Because if you're not living for him, that's what we're called to do, mm-hmm. right? Like that's if you're not living for him, then you are failing as a Christian. Period. And I don't have a problem saying I've failed at times, but like if you're not living for Jesus, if your pursuit is not him first, then you're wrong. You're in the wrong. As a Christian, you are absolutely 100% in the wrong. If you don't think through, would Jesus work to have all this stuff? Well,
can I tell one more story?
Who's he? Yes, you can. Okay, but not yet. Who's he?
I still want to rebut his interest thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Who's he trying to reach?
Just cut out Derek talking.
You're cutting out all this, right?
No.
Who's he trying to reach, right? Like who that's Jesus. Jesus would ask that question when it comes to whether you're making lots of money or buying a camper or buying a big truck or buying a, you know, what is the reason that they're doing these things, you know? Is it for time away? We all need that, right? Jesus did it. We all need time away. So, okay, if that's why you've bought a camper, cool. If it's to show off to the next door neighbor, I've got a bigger camper than you, then priorities, right? Same thing with the whole truck thing that we were talking about earlier. Like, if it gets you into the areas in which you are called to be in, then your motivations are just, you know, they're what Jesus would also do. He did what he needed to be in the area that he needed to be in.
So I mean, because a lot of the things that I make a decent living. Mm-hmm. My wife does too. Mm-hmm. And we have bought things. Now she's, you know, all cards on the table. She's not a churchgoer. Mm-hmm. So anything that is involved with the church is me, right? Mm-hmm. Tithing, all of it. She doesn't have a problem with it. For whatever reason, she doesn't come to church regularly.
It's because of us. We're jerks.
Well, you know, she's listening to this podcast, and that was that. Yep. But aside from that, we have decided that anything that we buy as a, you know, I'm going to say luxury item, but, you know, most of it is because we're trying to find ways to connect. Mm. You know, mm. that's one of the reasons why I no longer have a motorcycle. Mm. I sold that
So I could get the money to buy the camper because I know that's where we will spend lots of time together.
Yeah.
She loves to camp. I dig it. So this is what we do. So that's what I've that's how we've decided we're going to focus ourselves.
And I wasn't. So, that's great.
I know you're
point,
just using
pointing at you. I was just
But so you know, I'm just making sure that I'm not wrong in those those things.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. I don't care what my neighbor does. I really don't. I mean, I you know, sad to say, I barely talk to those guys.
I don't care. I don't care who you are. If you say that it's a sin to make money, you're wrong.
Right.
Like, let's just step on everybody's toes. You know, like, it's not a sin to make money. It's a sin to live outside of Jesus.
I don't think I want to tell my story anymore. I'm done.
Wow. You made him lose his story.
You know, the more I thought about it, wisdom, right? There's wisdom sometimes.
And not.
It's better to remain silent and have people think you a fool than to open your mouth and have.
And remove all doubt.
Remove all doubt.
I have that. I have that hanging in my office.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but yes, Mark, like you're right. I know a lot of people who give extravagantly, not just to the church, but to many others around, and they also live in a way that a lot of people will look at and turn their nose up at them because they have things, and.
But they don't know them, right?
Right.
Like, that's
right.
the other
right.
part of it.
And that's
like,
that's the issue,
that's,
right?
We look at people, and like, I say we, but, like, humans look at other people.
You judge them.
And you judge them.
Right.
I mean, it's warned about in Solomon, right? Like, he says, clearly, man looks on outward appearance.
Yes.
But God looks in the heart.
Yep.
We're supposed to be like God in that way.
Yep.
We are supposed to aim to look at the heart. And when you get to know somebody, that's why most effective witnessing and evangelizing happens at a dinner table,
yeah,
at a barbecue, at around a fire pit,
yep,
you know, at the gun range. It's because you get to know them, they get to know you, and it's
gun range is effective you have a weapon.
Yeah. Not quite what I meant, but yeah.
It's relational.
It's relational.
Yeah.
And so you're not judging them by just an outward appearance at that point,
mm-hmm,
right? You're looking at their heart, and they're looking at yours,
mm-hmm,
and you get to bond in a way that we rarely take time to do.
Yeah, and what's important in that too is it's not even about. So we'll take a step onto generosity for a minute, because some people may be hearing Nick saying, oh, well, yeah, you're the pastor. Of course you're saying generosity, give, 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 right? It's not even about how much you give, right? Mm-hmm. There are some people who give, right, like the widow and her two mites, right, mm-hmm, where Jesus calls her out and says she's given more because she's given out of her poverty than all of the priests and all of the king, like all the affluent people who love to throw their coins in the big golden or bronze trumpets or whatever they're called
to make noise.
To hear the sound of them clanging and receiving reward from others. So the intention behind all of that as well is of primary concern. And one of the things I've always shared when talking about giving in the church is the same thing that the Bible says, which says, do not give out of compulsion or obligation, right?
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to just say, oh, well, I know the Bible says I'm supposed to give 10%, so I guess I'm supposed to give 10%. And then you begrudgingly write a check or go on the little app thing and you give whatever you conceive as 10%. And then I hear people arguing about, well, should it be off of gross or net?
Like, yeah.
That's not the point, right? Don't even get lost in the numbers, right? Just get lost in the worship that's supposed to come through it. Like, you're supposed to worship while you're giving. It's a moment of intimacy between you and the Lord where you're saying, I'm giving to you and your kingdom, trusting that there is better that can be done with this amount of money than what I can do with it. So it's an act of obedience, but it's not out of obligation. Did I say? Yeah.
Wow. You know what? That's pretty cool. You said that and reflecting on that, because
mm-hmm,
I do the app thing and it draws out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even see it, but maybe I'm losing part of the worship and not cutting the check and actually sticking in the box.
There are a lot of people who do that only, Like, and I know of people in the past, I can't speak for this church specifically, but I know of people in the past who wouldn't give on Sunday for that reason. They would give throughout the week. So what they would do is, or if they did the Saturday night, they would sit down, they would pray, they would write their check out. They would, because there's this physical action that is accompanying it, and then they would bring it in, and then they would drop it in the box or whatever. They would go through the physical act. Or Sunday night, they would sit down, write their check, bring it in throughout the course of the week, drop it in the box, because it's an act of worship. And it's meant to mean something, not just be an afterthought.
And we have it on auto, whatever, right? Like we actually don't think about it. I don't think about it during the week. I don't think about it on a regular basis, to be honest with you. But it comes out before food goes in my stomach. It comes out before food goes in my kid's stomach. Like it comes out before my house payment. It comes out first. And I've made that a priority to make sure that it comes out. I don't care if I don't work that week, the same amount's coming out. I've determined that this is the amount that I'm going to give. And even throughout the time when I lost my job the last time, or quit my job, I didn't lose it. I quit last time. We didn't change that. Like it stayed consistent because that's what we decided, right? Mm-hmm. And so that part is half of the worship for us. The other half is the sacrificial giving throughout the rest of our life, right? Like, I don't know, buying a student a candy bar. That you're throwing money, especially candy bars these days. Freaking $3 a candy bar is nuts. Mm-hmm. But there's just the things. Like, it could be anything. Buying somebody's meal, covering somebody's meal. To me, that's giving sacrificially, because you are giving it out of love, right? Mm-hmm. to people. Mm-hmm. So that's the other half of the worship for me in my tithe and my giving and in my offering is the ability to just be like, okay, this person needs this, I'm just going to give it to them.
Or this thing made me think of you.
Right.
So we don't necessarily be like, hey, you know, we're making this a time of worship. Ours is more of as we're going, you know? And we've already set everything up to be like, okay, this is most important. Make sure that happened first, you know? So, I don't know.
Cool.
That's just a different side of it.
We definitely ran down some serious rabbit trails on that one. This was almost like money discussion 2.0.
To wrap it all together, though, is the idea that the world has today is it's all about me and what makes me happy and what pleases me. And the way to combat that, the Bible says, is to give. Give love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and have self-control in that you're going to give sacrificially. And that's not always money. That's time. Right. That's, you know, just friendship. That's staying 2 hours later to hang out just because somebody may need that throughout the week. You know, whatever that is, like, that is living sacrificially. And that's the only way that you can combat that self-hedonism.
Yeah, for sure.
So it all wraps together.
Yep.
And I'm not going to rap.
Rap? My name is Derek, and I'm here to say we're going to give sacrificially every day.
Word. God bless.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and give us a like on iTunes and Spotify so that you will never miss a show. And while you're at it, check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and make sure you tell your friends about this show. You don't want them to miss out on the truth, because we are all about the truth here. Thanks for joining us this week, and God bless.